Erlem Sports.
So we are just hours away from the 2020 FA Cup final. Arsenal and Chelsea are soon to battle it out at Wembley for the coveted prize. And this season has been strange and full of surprises. And you know what? I will admit, the biggest shock to me is actually seeing my team in another FA Cup final. However, here to discuss the red side of the final, it's Robbie Lyle from AFTV. Now, before we get into it all, Robbie, how have you been in the last few months?
Yeah, so I've been all right, you know. It's been weird, you know, not being able to go to watch games. Especially, like, you know, the whole lockdown period, obviously that was tough. But we were still doing lots of content, still, you know, doing lots of live stuff. And then since the sort of games came back, we've had to sort of change up the way we do things. But it's gone very well, but it's still tough not being inside the game. You know, I mean, an FA Cup final with no fans is going to be the weirdest of all. You know, but yeah, it's been good to see football come back, and I'm hoping it's the starting of getting fans back into games. But it has been a very tough period as a football fan.
Yeah, talking of that, you know, you are Mr. Arsenal. You go to all the matches, away, home, wherever it is, you're always there. It's been a bit different, though, for you kind of experiencing the match. You've been doing it socially distanced with friends at home. What has it been like experiencing it that way? Did you feel that it's lost a little bit of zeal, the matches, kind of watching it at home? Or is it nice doing it with friends still?
It's been nice doing it with other people. With, you know, it's been nice. I think watching the game at home in isolation on my own, I wouldn't have found it as enjoyable. But watching it with other fans has been really, really enjoyable to do it that way. But ultimately, nothing beats being at a game live there, seeing it actually happen in front of you. You know, you score a goal, the celebration with thousands of fans is just, it's a unique experience. And I miss it. I really do miss it. So it's been great to watch it the way we've been doing it. It's still been brilliant. We've still had lots of fun. And I think that's the next best thing, is the way we found of doing it. But the ultimate of actually being there, you know, you just can't beat that.
Is there anything, aside from the actual match day experience, but is there anything that you particularly miss? Because I used to love getting a pie at Arsenal, and afterwards I'd get a burger from one of the local stands around the Emirates Stadium. Is there anything about the match day experience that you feel you're missing out on because of it?
I think for me, it's mainly the camaraderie. You know, the fact that, like, when I go to games, I meet so many different fans. And I miss that. It's that camaraderie, it's the whole build up to the game. I don't really get a chance to go, because of all the filming and that we have to do, I don't get a chance to go to the pub as much no more, before or after. I don't really go before games because I just can't afford to have too much to drink, because it's a long day ahead of me. And I don't, you know, get to do as much of the things I used to do before AFTV. In going to games. But one of the things I do a lot is before the game, we're mingling and we're going around and meeting so many different fans in the whole build-up to the game. And I miss that, and I miss that anxiety, you know, you feel as you're building up to that game. You know what I mean? You're a bag of nerves. So I do miss all of that. I really do. And that's been a big difference.
Now, kind of talking about this season, it's not been one of the best for Arsenal. Did you think that if we would witness another FA Cup final for the team, or are you as shocked as me, as I expressed at the start?
Listen, to be in a cup final after the season we had is like, it's like a miracle. Especially when you look at some of the teams we had to get there. I mean, Sheffield United in the quarterfinals was a very difficult game. You know what I mean? They've been a good side this year. And that was a really tough game. Manchester City in the semi-final, I think everybody gave us absolutely no chance, even though we have beaten them before in a semi when we were given no chance. But I think this time it was even more, you know, the fact that we played them a few weeks before and been torn apart, you know, I thought that a lot of people thought that was going to be an easy win for Man City. And so to make it to the final in the manner we've done, I think has been unreal. And, you know, the fact that, you know, we could be getting silverware at the end of the season, it's hard to believe, because I just never thought we'd be in that situation this season. You know what I mean? It's been such a bad season for us.
Let's maybe take it back then, because the FA Cup is full of nostalgia for Arsenal. You know, we are the team with the greatest history in the Cup. And we've become, you know, probably over the last decades, the artists at lifting it. We've been very good in the last 10 years. So I want to talk through some of your memories of the great FA Cup. Now, the Arsenal team, as I said there, with the most wins in FA Cup history. What are your first memories, though, of Arsenal and this tournament?
First memories? Oh, I don't know. I always, even though I wasn't there, it's always the famous Charlie George 70s one, that celebration and everything. That to me, just a pity. There's like two. There's that one, and there's also the one when Sunderland scored. And that celebration as well. And those two, for me, they just stand out as absolutely iconic, you know. And then one FA Cup that I was at that I always have fond memories of, right? And I always have fond memories of it, not because we played well. We were shocking, right? But it's that we actually still ended up winning it. And I remember bantering Man United friends, right? I remember bantering them outside the ground, right? It was when we beat them in Cardiff on penalties. We were poor. Well, I don't even know if it was so much that we were poor that day. They were very good. And I remember Ronaldo was tearing us to shreds, and United were all over us. And we stuck it out, got into extra time, stuck that out as well. And then we went to penalties and we beat them. And I remember I came out of the ground and I saw a good friend of mine who's a Man United fan. And he goes, "You should be embarrassed to be celebrating after that was such a one-sided." And I go, "Yeah, that's what makes it even sweeter. To beat you." And that was the time when the rivalry was hot between us, you know. So I always remember that one as just a fond memory. I used to like going to those FA Cups down in Cardiff, you know, at the Millennium Stadium before they built Wembley. I used to enjoy those as well. So I remember beating, this is a semi-final, we're beating Tottenham in the semis. You know, there's been some great memories. And then I remember, obviously, when we beat Hull, that was very memorable for different reasons. And the fact that I remember when we was losing that game, looking over at Wenger and thinking, "This is it, man. You're done. You know what I mean? You're not going to survive this one." You know what I mean? And then, you know, we came back and won that game. If I remember rightly, Santi Cazorla got a brilliant free kick just before half time, and that was brought us back into it. And then, you know, managed to get the winner through Ramsey. And that was like a great moment because we hadn't won something for a very long time. And that was like almost like, yeah, we're kind of back, you know. So great memories of the FA Cup over the years. And it's our competition, man. He said, we've won it the most times. It's even called the Emirates FA Cup. So it's out. So it would be even when we beat Chelsea, that again, that was a couple of years ago. That was brilliant as well, because I remember the semi-final City, everyone wrote us off. I remember going down Wembley Way, seeing City fans. They were giving it. What are you even bothering to turn up for? They were saying things like that. Beat them, got to the final. Chelsea, they'd won the league. They were on to win the double. They were giving it as well. They gave us no chance. We beat them as well. You know what I mean? So a lot of times in the FA Cup, against all the odds, we've been able to pull out some fantastic results. And I'm hoping and praying that we can do that again tomorrow, because I do feel that we can beat Chelsea. I really do. So, yeah, there's been some great memories. And I'm hoping this one will be different, because we won't even be at the game. But it's probably going to be memorable for that if we win, you know.
Now, kind of continuing that with the lovely memories there, just a chance for you to flex a little bit here, Robbie, but how many FA Cup finals have you been to now?
Finals, I've been to, I think it must be about six.
There's too many to remember.
Yeah. I've been to quite a few. As I said, you know what I mean? Even down at the Millennium Stadium in Cardiff, I went to those ones. So, yeah, I've been to a lot. Got to say, most of them we've won. You know what I mean? So it's been brilliant.
Yeah, do you have a particularly favourite one? You know, you've mentioned the whole one there. That was so dramatic, but absolute squeaky bum time. Or maybe the Aston Villa one where we just trounced them 4-0.
You know what? That was a lovely cup final, because I remember that. It was a lovely day as well. And you know those games you're going to, and obviously you're nervous. It doesn't matter who you're playing. We were the favourites to win that, but it don't matter. It's the FA Cup final. And you know that sometimes teams can just turn up on that day. I always remember the League Cup final against Birmingham when they beat us, and we was expected to win that easy. And we all know what happened with that one. They beat us, right? So you turn up at the FA Cup final, you're so nervous. But that one, you know, we cruised it. When we was about 3-0 up, I was like, hey, mate, it's done. They're not going to... That was the most beautiful FA Cup, because you could just relax, sing songs, be happy. It was brilliant. And it was a beautiful day as well. That was lovely. That was a lovely day out, that was. Almost like, that was like perfect. You don't get those in a cup final. And it's normally, cup finals are only enjoyable if you win them. You know what I mean? Everybody knows that. So it's, you know, like that whole game, that was so, you know, so nervy. You know, so yeah, that Aston Villa one, that was a really nice day. It was such a great, relaxing day.
It was a really good one. And I think as well, if I was to pick one, I think it would probably be that or the Manchester United one, that, you know, the one that you mentioned there, because we did do it in dark arts fashion. We weren't the best, but also it's great to beat your rival at the time. And
yeah, the United one, honestly, I'll tell you, that was brilliant, because as I said, we got dominated that game. But to come out and win that, it was, as I said, it was just for the banter on the United fans and just seeing their faces after the game, because we kind of knew we got away with it. But just seeing their faces, mate, they were absolutely crestfallen. And I was like, yeah, yeah. And Millennium Stadium wasn't, because remember, we'd had it reversed on us where we dominated against Liverpool. And Michael Owen came on. I was at that one as well. That was terrible, right? So, you know, as I said, it's FA Cup finals are only good if you win. It's all great leading up to it, the day, going down Wembley Way, drinking, having lots of fun before the game. But once that game starts, because it's all or nothing, isn't it? It's all or nothing. If you lose that, you know, you're going to get the opposition fans up in your face after the game. You know what I mean? Most fans now, they don't even stick around to see the cup lifted by the other team, do they? You see it all the time on TV. Half a stadium's empty. They just go, you know. It never used to be like that. Fans would stick around and see the other team get their cup. Now everyone just goes. They're like, I don't want to watch them lot get it. You know what I mean? So do or die, man.
I think I've been lucky enough that with all the cup finals that I've been to, we've won every single one. So I've not had to make that hard choice, you know, another flex for me there as well.
Yeah, FA Cup final. I mean, I was there a couple, you know, when was it last year or the year before when we got beaten. It was the year before, wasn't it? We got beaten by Man City in the League Cup final. And that was almost the reverse of Villa, because we got absolutely battered and humiliated. And that was really, to get to a final and lose in that matter, that was bad. And then, you know, of course, Chelsea last year in Baku, I was at that. And again, you know, up until half time, we were playing all right. In the second half, it was awful. And to see us get beat in that manner was really, really hard to take. And that's why we owe Chelsea won, and we also, the players owe the fans a performance, because last year in Baku, we didn't turn up, which was really surprising, because we had it, you know, we could have got into the Champions League by winning that game, and Chelsea didn't really have really that to, you know, play for. They're already in the Champions League, and maybe that was why they were more relaxed about the whole game. So we again, we need it. We need this. I think the difference with this one is that both teams need it. Even though Chelsea obviously through to the Champions League. But I think it's both managers are going to be desperate for it because they're both young managers. They're both starting out, and it will both for both of them, it will be a big coup to, you know, win the FA Cup final.
Now, talking of big coups and big moments in FA Cup finals, there's been plenty of goals that Arsenal have scored. Now, I just want you to maybe pick out one or two that are your favourite FA Cup goals that Arsenal have scored.
The Alan Sunderland one, that one against United all those years ago, that was huge. And as I said, iconic. And then there's the Ramsey ones, isn't there? The Aaron Ramsey goals, you know, that was the one against Hull that finally, we finally knew that that's it. You know, extra time, massive goal. Alexis Sanchez as well. I think that against Villa, that what a hit that was. You know what I mean? So there's been some great goals over the years in the FA Cup. The thing is about the FA Cup, right, is that it don't matter how that goal's scored. You just wish it could go off of somebody's bum, man. You don't care. You just want to get that trophy at the end of it. That's what it's all about once you get to the final. That's why so many finals sometimes are so cagey. That's why a lot of times finals ain't always the best spectacles because there's so much on it. But yeah, I'd probably go those ones for the real iconic ones.
I'm going to throw one into the ring here as well. I'm going to put in the Ray Parlour one. Because obviously it sealed a double for us. Yeah. But also, what a banger it was. And as the commentator said, even Ray Parlour scored.
and that was it. When he scored that goal, nobody... it was like, what? That Parlour? You know what I mean? Because you know, you didn't even see Parlour hit shots like that. You know what I mean? He was just that combative guy in midfield. It was like an engine, wasn't he? And wow. So yeah, you know, that was an amazing strike by Ray Parlour. Probably, I know that's a cliched thing, but he probably never did hit one like that ever again in his career. You know what I mean? It was fantastic.
Yeah, it was a wonderful moment. And just a final question before we get into the analysis of the journey to the final and also the actual FA Cup final, you know, building up for tomorrow. When you think of Arsenal FA Cup, which player comes to mind as the emblem of Arsenal success in that competition?
Well, at the moment, it has to be Aaron Ramsey, you know, because, you know, he scored big goals in those competitions in two FA Cups. So I'd say, you know, Aaron Ramsey. And as I said, the iconic one's Charlie George. It's just that celebration, and that it's just that was 71, and it's still iconic now. You know, that is a iconic moment. But I'd say it'd have to be maybe the Alan Sunderland one as well. You know, but Ramsey, he did it twice in finals, big goals. So I'd have to say Aaron Ramsey.
And I got asked, did you recreate any of the goals yourself? You know, my dad was saying that when he was at school, everybody recreated the Charlie George moment. You know, they got on the ground and they did that every time there was scoring. Was there any moments that you recreated when you played football?
No, I never. I didn't score enough goals. I was in defence, so nothing to recreate.
I love it. But let's move it then on to the journey to this year's final. And the final of 2020, it wasn't easy for Arsenal. As we said there, it's been a jaded kind of season for us. But also, the games have been difficult from the start. The campaign was against a brilliant Bielsa-led lead at the Emirates. When we took them on in that very, very difficult fixture all that time ago, did you even begin thinking that we could reach the FA Cup final that night? Or were you just more worried that this was the start of Project Arteta?
I was just on the Project Arteta thing. And I was just intrigued to see how we were going to play under him, how we were going to get on. And I remember that night, you know what, Leeds played really well. You know what I mean? They dominated possession. They moved the ball quickly. They were aggressive. You know what I mean? Really, you got a glimpse of a Bielsa team. And I think they're going to do all right in the Premier League. It's no surprise to me when I saw them play that they got promoted. They're a good side. But we still got the win. I think it was Eddie Was it Eddie Nketiah or no, Reece Nelson, wasn't it, who scored the winner? And, you know, it's our young players that night that shone, you know. As a matter of fact, if you look at the competition this year, our young players sort of all along have been the players that have been shining right up until we got to sort of the latter stages of it. You know, played a lot of the youngsters, Saka, shone in it, Eddie, Reece Nelson has done well in the tournament. You know what I mean? So, yeah, at that stage, I wasn't thinking about FA Cup finals. No chance.
Now, kind of continuing that, the whole FA Cup journey has been an Arteta achievement. You know, he's the one that started the Leeds match, and it's been from there. If we do win the FA Cup tomorrow, does that mean that Project Arteta is working, or is there still a lot needed to be seen from Arsenal to be considered to be positive for the seasons going ahead?
Obviously, there's still lots left to be. The ultimate test is a league. You know, that is the test. You know, I mean, you play every team twice. You know, it's about performing consistently over a season. But it'd be a great marker. I mean, he's done some great things, I think, throughout this campaign. He's played youngsters in the early rounds. They've delivered. As I said, Saka. I remember he scored his great goal against, I think it was Bournemouth. You know, he really blooded the youngsters and did well with the youngsters in the early rounds. And then in the latter games, tactically, I mean, the tactical performance against Manchester City was brilliant, you know. And I also thought the performance against Sheffield United showed a lot of toughness. They're a very tough team, very physical. They've got those long throws going on in there. So he had to overcome sort of different obstacles, a completely contrasting obstacles in the quarterfinals and semi-finals. So I think tactically he's been superb in this tournament so far. It's going to be really interesting to see what his tactics against Chelsea are going to be. But ultimately, it's just the beginning. The league is where you're judged. You're not judged by FA Cup wins. Ask Arsene Wenger, he won it three times in the latter parts of his career, but still, he was still getting criticised heavily because of the league performances. And I think that's where people want to really see what Arteta can do, and that is in the league. However, you know, it's going to be, there's a lot of factors for that because, you know, to do well in the league, you need a good squad and a squad full of quality. Will he get that this summer? I don't think so. I think he'll get maybe a couple of bits of it. It's going to take a couple of years. It's a transition period. But certainly for me, I've been very happy with what I've seen so far of Mikel Arteta. I think he's a very intelligent manager. And also he knows the values of Arsenal. I like the way he's instilled that in the team. And, you know, you can see with what he's done with Ozil, Guendouzi. He's like, if you're not going to... He talked a good one when he came in. And everybody was like, yeah, I like what he's saying. And he's saying that if you don't want to do what I say and you don't want to do it for this badge and you don't value this enough, you won't play. And we were like, yeah, get in there. Love that. But he's actually followed it through with his actions as well. In the way in which he's handled Ozil, he ain't played a game since lockdown. Guendouzi, he sidelined him as well. And he's not brought them back. He's not bowed down to pressure and said, oh, well, we didn't create enough. We're going to bring back Ozil and stuff like that. He's just said no. So I like what I see with this guy. And, you know, I think as well, if he was to win the FA Cup, how good would that be for, you know, the fact that he's taken over such a poor side, really? I mean, we were doing badly this season. He actually got the coronavirus. He's had to fight back from that, remember? The first sort of high-profile football person in his country to get it. Defeated that, has come back as, you know, after that lockdown and what he's done. All right, the league position wasn't great, but it was a tough end to the season as well. If he could win it, I'd be so happy for him personally to see what he's had to overcome. So, it'd be brilliant.
Now, kind of talking there of the tactics, you've mentioned it there, but I'm quite impressed looking at it. 3 clean sheets, 8 goals scored, only 2 conceded on our way to the final. But kind of contrasting that with what's gone on in the league, where we've not scored much, we've conceded probably far too many goals. What has gone right about the tactics in the FA Cup that has gone wrong in the league?
It's hard to put your finger on it, isn't it? I mean, because we've seen performances in the league that have been good as well. So against Wolves, again, great tactical performance. Great win away from home to a really top side, clean sheet. Up until when we played Wolves, they were unbeaten since the lockdown, right? Great performance against Liverpool, you know, in which, you know, we beat the champions, right? Again, with tactics, a tactical performance. I thought was doing well against Tottenham up until, and then here's the problem now. He's got the tactics right, but the players have let him down. You know what I mean? Again, first game against Man City, David Luiz, all over the place, lets a team down, goes down to 10 men. You're not going to beat Man City with 10 men, you know? The same thing, the Brighton game, players switching off. The Tottenham game, you know, Kolasinac inexplicably just passing it after we've just gone a goal up and we're looking great. Kolasinac just passing the ball under no pressure straight to Sun for him to score. You look at things like that. You can't blame the manager for that. You know what I mean? That's the personnel. You know, the tactics are right, but the personnel. And that's why I'm saying that if he can get some good players in there, I think I've seen enough from him tactically to see that he's a guy, he thinks a lot about the game and he knows what he wants to do. But, you know, has he got the players to carry that out week in, week out? He can do it in a one-off game. But week in, week out, where you're saying to a player, concentrate every game, we've seen. Aston Villa again, concentration poor from the players. So they're not doing it week in, week out. Maybe in a cup competition because it's one-off, you know, and you know it's just that, like that final, it's one game, concentrate, switch on. But it's, some players can do that. But week in, week out, like 3-4 games back to back, can they do it then? The answer's been no. So that's where we need better quality within that side.
Yeah, and looking at the data as well, you know, I'm a bit of a data kind of person. I love to analyse what's been going on. And, you know, looking at attacking and defensive data, it does worry me quite a bit. And it was kind of the same story last season where Arsenal overexceeded, outperformed data. And in many ways, it's quite lucky. So looking at the defensive data, the side actually have the second worst XG conceded post-lockdown. Only Norwich have been worse. Arsenal also have the third worst big chances conceded, third worst shots in the box conceded. Is it kind of maybe a worry that this FA Cup journey may mask over obvious cracks in the team? Is there a danger that, like we saw under Wenger, that he was forgiven, maybe Arteta might be forgiven for problems actually with Arsenal?
No, I don't think it's a danger, and I don't think it's a matter of forgiveness either, because I already forgive Arteta, because this is what he's got. And even we even got to sympathise with him even more. He knew that. Well, the first game, if you notice, he had Pablo Mari in. He's like his guy, right? And he got injured out for the rest of the season. So he already knows. He already knows. He said it. You know what I mean? And he, you know, they'll be looking at the data as well. And I don't know how they used to look over the data in years gone by and not realise a thing that every fan has known for a very long time. Our defence is rubbish.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. And then we need to fix that defence. I'm still surprised that we gave David Luiz another year. I mean, your data will tell you he's conceded the most penalties. A new record. It's just unacceptable. You know what I mean? 5 penalties. You know what I mean? And I think he's been sent off in about 3 of those as well. You know what I mean? So that has to change. That has to change next season. I don't think an FA Cup win will mask over that. Everybody knows that. It's not, everyone's seen that for years now. That has to change. They need to sort that defence out. Imagine if Arsenal had a good defence. We'd be up there challenging we'd be up there challenging, you know, to get into those top 4 places. But the fact that we let, I think the stats also show that, you know, we let more leads slip than any other team. You know what I mean? It must be very frustrating for the strikers. You see Lacazette in that game against Tottenham, you know what I mean? You scored a wonder goal to get your team ahead in a North London derby. And then your defender just goes and passes the ball to Son and says, yeah, here, mate. That we had to score a wonder goal down the other end, but what we'll do is we'll give you an easy chance. Here, go.
Yeah.
I mean, what? No, it's inexcusable. And it's not... Kolasinac who did that one. I don't want to get on him in particular, but the Sheffield United game in the Cup. We're sitting good in that game. Sitting good in the game. He goes and makes a mistake. They're back in it 1-1. Luckily, we got them on the counter and managed to win the game. So it's just not... The defence is just not good enough. We're lucky we've got two good goalkeepers now, right? So, or it could be worse this season. We could probably be worse than Norwich in defence. And we're lucky that we've got Aubameyang and we've got good strikers up front that can punish mistakes of other teams. But that defence needs sorting out. And that's why Arteta has been playing this three at the back, that formation, because he knows that he can't play a four with the personnel that he's got. So I think he knows already, and it won't mask over anything. Everybody knows it, right? So I think I'm not even worried about that masking over anything, unless it's maybe the owner thinking, oh, we won the FA Cup. Maybe I don't need to spend. But, you know, everybody can see that needs sorting out. That is a major, major problem with Arsenal.
Kind of moving on there, you've mentioned Aubameyang, who has been brilliant this season. Lacazette has had his moments, and Pepe has improved through the campaign. But again, looking at the data, it's been poor. I'm looking since the restart, and third lowest chances created, and we're mid-table for big chances created and XG. Kind of combining that with what I've said about the defence, is there a worry in your mind that it's been a lucky run and this could be exposed in the FA Cup final? Or have Chelsea got equal problems that kind of equal this out in the Cup final?
No, Chelsea play more free-flowing football than us. And I think, again, one of the reasons why those stats look that way is remember how we've been playing, the formation. We've been playing with that 3-4-3 sort of formation that you know, where we're getting wing backs, but they got to get back in. A lot of times we're playing with five in defence. And I don't know, sometimes with stats, you've got to take these things into account. So we haven't got that extra man in midfield to create chances, right? And really, I don't think Arteta wants to play this formation. I think he's played this formation because he knows that he's had to, because of our defence. And plus as well, there have been a lot of injuries to key players in defence. But he knows he's got to play that. So we've missed out on having that extra creative player in midfield. We've literally taken it out and sacrificed that. So that's been one of the reasons why the chances have been less. Also, we've got to take into consideration, since the lockdown, some of the games we've had. It's been some difficult games in there. You know what I mean? We had a run of games of Wolves, Tottenham, I think it was Sheffield United, Wolves, Tottenham, Leicester, Man City, Liverpool. That's a tough run of games. You're not going to be creating loads and loads of chances against some of those teams. You know what I mean? You've got to adjust your tactics. So I think, you know, people, you take that into account. If that run had been an easier run, like what we say, saw Tottenham or say Manchester United, you know what I mean? They looked brilliant, didn't they? In a load of these games, free-flowing, attacking, until they got to Chelsea, which was the real tough game. The real, all of a sudden now, you're up against a serious team. All those stats, that the brilliant attacking stats and all that they'd had in those games against Bournemouth and Villa and teams like that came to a big halt. Had they have had to face, say, four, five teams of that calibre, would they have been as free-flowing and created as many chances? So I always take those things into account. But certainly, you know, looking at Arsenal's squad, with obviously the Ozil situation, we need a creative midfielder. We need an attacking creative midfielder. We lack that. And we also, I think, obviously, defence. I don't think we need, if we can keep hold of Aubameyang, I still like Lacazette. He's had an indifferent season, but he's come quite good towards the end of the season as well. Pepe is improving, you know, and then you've got Saka up there, you've got Reece Nelson, you've got, yeah, I mean, I'm happy up front. But it's that midfield area, there's not enough creativity. And also, we all know, defensively, not there. Nowhere near.
So, kind of moving it into the psychology of that final, do you think it gives an advantage that both managers have yet to win a trophy? So, Arsenal, Chelsea, on equal terms there, or will that Europa League final of last year loom large in the consciousness negatively against Arsenal, or could it drive them on? Revenge.
I would hope it'd be driving them on revenge. It's a different type of final. I mean, there's no Hazard now. He's gone. But then you've got Giroud there. He's on great form. And he's, again, you know, for us, he's done well in FA Cup finals. He scored in that Europa League final. And he's on a lot of form at the moment. You know what I mean? That Pulisic, I've been really impressed with. Chelsea play some very good football. They're very free-flowing team. But I think, if I'm an Arsenal player, I'm looking at it and say, you know, we played them twice this season. And in both games, I thought that, you know, they're very, you know, the one that we lost against them, I thought we were very unlucky. Decisions kind of went against us as well that day, if you remember rightly. So, and then the second game, we were down to 10 men. You know, it was a draw. So I think that's a very even game. It's going to be a different type of game to when we play, say, Man City, but we can exploit problems at Chelsea, which, again, their defence is a bit shaky. They are the better team. They are the team that will be considered the favourites. You know, they finished above us. They're in the top four. We're eighth, right? Let's be real about it. But I think on a given day, we can beat Chelsea. And I think pressure will be on them to as well. It's going to be the same amount of pressure as on us, because Lampard desperately wants to win that. It'd be his first trophy. And I think it's the same for Arteta. And they'll be very wary of Arsenal because we've beaten in the FA Cup final before. And they'll be wary because they'll be looking back at games and they'll be thinking, all right, yeah, we know they lost to Brighton and Villa, but they beat Man City. They beat Liverpool. They beat Wolves. They're not going to be no joke. They're against big teams recently, we ain't been too bad. Start of the season, start of this year, we beat Man United. We drew with Chelsea. So I think they'll be, you know, and even the Tottenham game, they'll be looking at it saying, all right, they lost to Tottenham, but they gave a good account of themselves in that Tottenham game away from home. That could have been different, that game, had it not been for errors. So I think Chelsea are going to be wary of us. They're not going to think that we're going to be any pushover. It's going to be a really, really tight game.
Now, let's move it on to the actual day. You know, we're only a few hours away, but we're a bit too early to know the confirmed kind of injury news and everything. But do you have a predicted lineup for tomorrow's game?
Well, my lineup, I'll be still sticking with the formation, that three at the back. I just think Chelsea, a very good attacking team, attack very well down the flanks. We're going to need that extra cover. So my team would be, obviously, Martinez and goal has been brilliant. When Leno comes back, there's a problem there. Yeah. A good problem. Who do you have in? Each guy's been outstanding. But Martinez in goal. And then, right, the three at the back now, obviously, David Luiz. Oh. Please, Luiz, do not mess up against Chelsea again. But David Luiz, you know, he needs to redeem himself against Chelsea. He was brilliant in the semi-final. Mustafi looks like he's going to be out, so I think probably you're going to have to go Rob Holding. And then Tierney as that sort of player that's going to play, you know, as that third on the left side, third centre-back on the left-hand side. Then I'd go with Ainsley Maitland-Niles, who I thought done really well in that semi. He's very quick, very aggressive. I'd keep with him down to, you know, protect down one side and get forward when he can. And Bellerin, if he's fully recovered, he was out of the last game, but they just said it was a knock. Hopefully he'll be back. I'd Bellerin on the right-hand side. Then Xhaka and Dani Ceballos as those two in the midfield there. And then up front, the big guns for me. It's got to be Aubameyang, Lacazette and Pepe. That's three big players there that can turn a game. I'd go with those three. So that would be my team to play in the final. It's basically the same team that played against Man City in the semis. I was very impressed with that performance. So, yeah, and then you've got, obviously you've got your Sakas and people like that you can bring off the bench. But that would be my team.
I'm interested that you've not put Saka at left back, though. Instead, Ainsley Maitland-Niles, you know, he has been our biggest assister this season. And at times we have lacked creativity. But are you more worried about defence rather than kind of attack at the moment?
In this particular game, yes. Because Chelsea, as I said, if they've got Giroud in the team, they'll be looking to get the balls down the flanks, get the ball into Giroud for his, you know, he's great in the air, as we know. He's good at protecting the ball, little knockdowns, flick on, stuff like that. So we want to stop those crosses from coming in. I think what I saw of Ainsley Maitland-Niles in that semi-final, if he can repeat that, you know what I mean? You know, he was up against the best wide players in Man City, and he was absolutely amazing. And I just think defensively he's a bit stronger. I would just stick with that team. It did so well in the semis. It's nothing on Saka, but I would stick with that team. You can bring Saka on if we need a goal, if we're chasing. But I would go with that. I am worried about, you know, Chelsea, as I said, they really do move the ball well. They've got Willian down those flanks, Pulisic and people like that. We've got to be very wary of that. And I do think that Arteta will be very wary of that. That's one of their areas of strength. They are, you know, they create a lot. Down the middle as well, you know what I mean? That Kovacic and, you know, and Jorginho and players like that, they've got a lot of creativity in that team. So we've got to make sure we try and stifle that out. Then on the counter-attack, get that ball up there quickly to Pepe or to Aubameyang. Those players can definitely get at that Chelsea defence. Definitely. The Chelsea defence can be a bit like Arsenal, where the defenders are a bit rash. You know what I mean? So, that would be my team.
So, predicted tactics, and you've kind of explained it a little bit there, but we're going to kind of defend and then have the counter-attack. Is that how you imagine that we're going to continue that that style from the Man City semi?
I feel we'd be a little bit more, we'll have more possession than what we did against Man City, because obviously they dominate possession. I think we'll have more, but I still think Chelsea will have more. Chelsea try to play a style where it's very free-flowing. They're trying to play like a Man City. So I think, yes, I think that's the tactic. You know, they'll have more of the ball than us, but on the counter-attack, I think Chelsea are vulnerable. And I'd be looking to play that tactic.
So, moving on, how confident are you? And do you have a final score prediction?
I'm going to go 2-1. I think it's going to be a very tight game. I think, you know, as I said, it's going to be a game where we're going to have to really concentrate. You know, Giroud, as I said, is a very good player. But I think Arsenal players will have a lot of confidence because of when we've come up against the big teams since the lockdown. We've done very well. And apart from the Tottenham game, but you could argue they're not a big team anyway. But you know what I mean?
I'd agree.
But when we've come up against those top teams, I think we've done well since the lockdown with those tactics. Do it again, one more game. David Luiz, I think, has got a very important part to play in this game. If it's the David Luiz that we saw in the semi-final, I can see us winning the game. He's got such... Because Giroud he's up against, or Tammy Abrahams and guys like this. He's going to have to be aggressive, but he can't give away stupid fouls. He can't make mistakes and errors. He's going to be pivotal. And when he wins that ball, we know he's got good distribution. If he can get the ball forward quick. But I think there'll be a lot of pressure on him in this game. I think, you know, Chelsea might target him a bit. He's ex-Chelsea, of course. He's going to be inside himself. He knows that he hasn't played well. In some of the games against Chelsea, he's going to want to really do well. It's a pivotal game. If he plays well, him and Granit Xhaka, those two, very important for them. I can see us winning this game. Because there's going to be a lot of periods where they're going to have the ball.
And
but I still think that counter-attacking style is one where you can get at Chelsea. You know, their defence is a bit, even though they've got some good players in that defence, but you can get at it.
And who's going to score the goal to cement themselves in Arsenal folklore? I mean, you said it's 2-1 there, so who are the two possible, or is it going to be one person?
You know, listen, you can't. I can see Lacazette is a big scoring in his big games. I can see Lacazette with a goal. I can also see Aubameyang. Yeah, I mean, this guy's had, again, you know, in a poor side, be real. He's been amazing. And he'll be hungry to score, especially just missing out on that golden boot. He'll be very hungry to score a goal in the final. So, for me, those two. I if I was to put money on it, I'd go Lacazette, Aubameyang.
I love it. And kind of the final question here, being hopeful, being positive, how will you be celebrating if we win? I'm guessing you'll be watching, you know, with the kind of setup that you have throughout all of lockdown with friends and enjoying it all, which is great fun. But are there any plans of a little, you know, socially distant party, or what has Robbie got lined up?
Well, we'd be watching the game like what we did in the semi-final at Box Park Wembley. So we're going to be in Wembley, right? Well, Box Park Wembley, if anybody knows where that is, it's right on Wembley Way. So we'll be watching it there. There's going to be, I think about, it's a socially distant space, but we can have up to 50 people in our space for that legally. Because everybody who comes in there is tested, well, you temperature check and track and trace and stuff like that. So it's the nearest we're going to get to Wembley for the game, and the nearest we'll get to having quite a few people watching it. So that's going to be brilliant. And in that particular box park, it's a huge place. There's also another room in there where there's going to be a load of Arsenal fans watching it in there as well. So it should be a great atmosphere. If we win, it's going to be one big party that night. I'm leaving my car at that Wembley car park, and I don't know how I'm getting up. Right? So if we win, especially after the season we've had, wow, I'm partying. I'm definitely partying, you know. So I'm hoping and praying for a victory. You know, it would just be a great way to, you know, cap off a really disappointing season. And I think if we was to win, everybody could look back at the league and say, well, transition, but at least we won a trophy. And they'd be, you know, so nah, it's set up for a big party if we win. Don't worry about that.
I mean, we've seen Robbie being Gordon Ramsay. Will we see Robbie being John Travolta and throwing some moves out on the dance floor?
Shapes, man. If we win that, you'll see some shapes. Don't worry about that.
Well, now I want to win for two reasons for Arsenal, and I want to see them shapes as well. But I've got to say, thank you so much for your time today, Robbie. It's been a real joy looking forward to the FA Cup final tomorrow, and also some real nostalgia trips as well. I'll be hopefully chatting to you again in the near future, talking about Arsenal's win in the FA Cup 2020 final. But for now, thank you very much, Robbie, and chat to you soon.
Thank you.